Good morning. As I put myself together, today's a sit-down day. I always find it interesting how somehow God can take different parts who have to, you know, bring in this service together and just connect them to make sense, both from the music to Tab just sensing what the Spirit was saying about some people, you know, coming along and joining his band of merry people, right? And what I sensed the Lord, you know, speaking to me that I was to bring to the church as we now walk through or enter into 2023. So for those who have joined the band of merry people, now I get to tell you what you signed up for. Because we've been on this in camping out at the Sermon on the Mount, which is what I call Jesus' magnum opus, meaning his coup de grace as far as his teaching is following him, what it all means, what it all entails. And we're about two-thirds of the way through, and next week we then slide into chapter 7 from Matthew's gospel. It's also Luke weaves it through his gospel. And if you thought the first two chapters 5 and 6 were challenging and maybe even impossible, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you get into 7. It becomes a little more challenging. But before we go into there, I felt the Lord, there was some things that he wanted us to be reminded about and to ponder, to consider. You need to consider. You need to think about. And for those who signed up, you need to consider. It's not just sign up and you're, hey, good to go. It's not quite like that. So I pray for you guys. May the Lord have mercy upon you. Not really. Yes, really, but you don't have to. You don't need that. I think most of you know that. I mentioned, you know, I was out running yesterday. One of my things that I thoroughly enjoy now. In the latter years of my life, somehow I got things all mixed up because, you know, one of the things I enjoy is running. And, you know, I wondered, why couldn't I have started this at 20? 20 and 30, I hated it. 40, I hated it. 50, I got introduced to it. And then here I am at 60, and I love it now, which is weird. It should be the other way around. But it is what it is, right? And the passion, that passion, you know, it all began because I had two older brothers that both had heart attacks at 52. And when I was at around the 48 mark, it was like, shoot, I'm getting close. And I realized I'm nothing special. And I might not be as fortunate to make it through a heart attack, because not everybody does. And so I decided I had a choice. Either I was going to do the medicated route, or I was going to change my lifestyle. And that's what I felt when I prayed about it. That's what I felt the Lord saying, well, you got a choice. You can go this way or that way. Which way do you want to go? And it was like, so I chose the other way. I wanted to become healthier. So that required a shift to take place, which meant some working out. Then I wanted to do this thing called Tough Mudder. And, you know, why would I do that? Because it's a challenge. I need a challenge, right? You need to have a goal. And then when Larry Peterson joined our team, he had the bright idea that he put in me, you know what, we should do the longer ones, longer Tough Mudders that are 8 hours overnight. And then, you know, maybe the world is 24 hours. And then, so in order to do that, you had to add some running into your training. So, and I wasn't too keen on that, but one of the things I started to notice was, wow, I like this running. That's weird. You know, what's up with that? And now and then I started running on the roads. It's dangerous. Motorists don't always look out for you. They don't. Try going through a crosswalk at a roundabout. They ignore you or hit you. I haven't had that yet. And so, I did some trails, and then I just fell in love with trail running. Just thought it was brilliant and just gorgeous being out there. And so my goal now when I retire is I want to run the entire Bruce Trail is what I want in one go. Not meaning I'm going to sleep, but I want to do it all in one go. And so that's something I'm aiming for. And I got to start thinking about that now and preparing for that now. And so I've begun a training plan, and because in May I'm going to do a trail race in over at Shade Mill Park, the conservation area there, and I want to do an ultra marathon. I want to get into the ultra marathons, which is running more than 42 kilometers, and that's what I want to do. That's something I want to experience. And the thing, what I've learned about running, it's more of a mental game than it is a physical game. Okay? Now, so why are you telling us all this, Scott? Good question. No, I don't, actually. No. If I signed up for this, you have to pray for me. You chose it. No one put a gun to your head to make you do it. Right? Because this will lead into what I want to talk to you about. But this lays the groundwork so you have some understanding. But running is more of a mental game than it is a physical thing. The physical you can push behind you. The mental will come up. And if you don't learn how to manage your mental, it'll take you out. It'll take you out. The thoughts that go through your head, right? It'll take you out. Because you have those things that go through, I can't make it, I can't do this, oh, my body's killing me, oh, this, and you have all these thoughts, look at that person, how fast they're going, I can't keep up with them, oh my gosh, you know, and before you know it, you just spiral down and you're out, it's that quick. But there are elements of running that I really do appreciate, and here's one of the big things I appreciate about it that I've learned. It's not about perfection. There's no such thing as a perfect runner. Because what is a perfect runner? I don't know. I guess someone from Kenya. Because, no, like they're doing marathons, 42K, in 2 hours. Do the math, that's 21 kilometers an hour, steady for 2 hours. Hop on a bike and maintain 21K for 2 hours, 21K an hour for 2 hours. Try it. Kilometers per hour. Try that. And you'll have a new appreciation, you know. But yay them. But it's not about perfection. What I measure instead is my endurance. I measure my heart rate. I measure my strength. You know, I measure that stuff. And it's about improvement, not perfection. That's what I'm after. It's the improvement I'm after. And it's doing the best I can do. It's bringing my very ultimate best. Because here's a reality. Here's a reality. I'm not going to run as fast as other people. Just won't. God gave me short legs. You know, have you ever seen a dog with short legs? They're going to beat the band, but they're not going very far. Then you got someone like a Great Dane and, you know, gallop, 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 gallop. Yeah, we've had two corgis. Big dogs with big legs that they don't even, you know, break a sweat, right? And the other thing, I'm not going to go as far as others do. There's other runners out there, elite runners, that are, they're just crazy. And here's the whole thing. I'm not racing against anybody. You know, if I'm racing against anybody, it's me. It's me I'm racing against. Trying to do my best. That's what I want to do. And so I continue to push myself. I continue to try and just see, you know, and work on the things I need to, especially with what goes on in my head and that. Because if I think for a second, if I have to run like the best, I'm going to bail. I can't do it. It'll be discouraging. There's sometimes I'll see somebody out in the road when I'm driving somewhere, and they're just galloping along, and it's like, at least sweat. Like, come on, you can't do that. And here's the key thing: what the pros, the elites, will say is, run your own race. Run your own race. Just stop trying to, you know, match somebody else. Stop that. Just run your own race. That's one of the things they say. Because here's the reality too, in doing in trail racing, you're going to stumble, trip, and you're going to fall. That's a given. It's going to happen. And you're going to get hurt sometimes, and you're going to feel overwhelmed at times, and you're going to want to quit, especially if you're doing the ultras, and it's just part of the way it is. The only way you're going to avoid that is don't run. If you don't want to do that, if you don't want that to happen to you, don't run, right? But I love to run. It hurts, but I love it. It's weird. Can't figure that one out, right? You know, why am I doing this? April asks me that all the time. Why are you doing this? I don't know. But what I appreciate about reading and listening to the elites There's one key character they have with them, and I found this. Now, I'm not saying it's everyone, but predominantly is their humility. Their humility in what they're doing, but how they talk to all others, how they talk to the slowbies like me who are stumbling along, how they will encourage, how they're generous to help, share their tips and advice. And also, they don't sugarcoat anything. They tell you it's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. You're going to have the tough times. You're going to want to quit. It's all part of the deal. And they tell their stories of how they went through. And it was the same thing for them. And how there was races they'd never finish because their body, their body blew up, whatever that looks like, you know. They tell things, and then they tell you things that you really didn't want to hear because it's like, that happens. Like, one of the things that happens is when you go really, really long is that your digestive system, like, goes a little wonky on you, apparently. And that's why you got to really be careful with your diet while you're running, what you're eating and that, because you feel nauseous. And they talk about, you feel nauseous, and just throw up. And it's like, hold on. Pause that one. I didn't sign up for throwing up, right? I just want to run and enjoy nature. That's all I want to do, right? But they don't sugarcoat anything, and I appreciate about that they say this is just the reality, and so there's no surprises. I don't feel if that happens to me, I don't feel what's wrong with me. And it's just so happy. And what you don't see or hear from them is they don't heap on any discouragement on you. There's none of that going on. You know, you need to try harder. Man, you don't even look like a runner. Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't even belong with us. No. If you're close to quitting, if you're close to that, what you hear about them in the different talks going on out there is they'll go and help somebody who's struggling. They'll come alongside, run with them. They'll help them try and get to the finish line. They'll do everything they can because why? They've been there before and they know. And they know you. The best thing you need is someone to come along and help you. And basically what it is, discouragement and shaming is not allowed. It's not permitted. It's not cool in the whole running thing. Now I mention all of this because, and I don't know why. That's why I think partly it's God set me up. I think that's what I want to say. But I have learning about running and doing it has helped me tremendously in understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So for those who have joined the club, welcome. Am I saying it's going to hurt? Yes. Yes, it will hurt. It's not Jesus hurting you. It's living the Jesus way, what Jesus calls us to. It's hard. It's difficult at times. That's a reality. It's not a bad thing. It's just the reality. Now, so let me talk about following Jesus. As most of you know, I love following Jesus, right? Now, I had a bumpy start a few decades ago in my late teens, early 20s. It was, it was going along not too bad. And, I had my ups and downs in the first few years. But what I came to know about Jesus, not only was he a God who I worshiped, Jesus became known as my friend to me. I found that Jesus really loved me and wanted to be with me and wanted to walk with me, right? And one of the things I learned was more than anything, more than knowing my Bible or knowing anything like that, was learning to stay close to Jesus. That I didn't have to have it all figured out. That as I go through life, if I begin to veer off, Jesus will bring me back. That's what the Holy Spirit does, leads us and guides us. That whole thing about the Holy Spirit convicting, it's that when you start to go off the trail, so to speak, the Holy Spirit brings you back. And so I've learned over the decades, stay close to Jesus. What was odd is that my life never became easier. Life didn't smooth out. But what I did find is that I became more content with the way life was. That when bad things happened, they happened. That what I learned in the bad things was that Jesus was with me. And there were some bad things that Jesus was able to, for whatever reason, change things and turned it out for good. I understand when Paul writes in Romans 8 that God can turn those bad things around for good. And sometimes God does that. And it's good. It's good. But I'm not afraid of when the bad things happen. I don't get knocked off anymore because of that, right? And the other thing I found, so one of the things, the interesting things in running, what runners will talk about is the runner's high. And it's just this, it's a feeling of euphoria or something like that. Now, a buddy of mine, he says the only runner's high, the only time he can get a runner's high is if he ate a gummy or something like that. He said he wouldn't get it. But I have had that from the odd times. Something, it just hits and it comes and then it goes. But I found too in following Jesus, there's the odd time you get this, what I would call the follower's high. It's just this rush, this closeness, this sense. It's almost like you almost sense the closeness of God, the Holy Spirit with you. And it's beautiful. It doesn't stay for long. It doesn't happen that often, but it's so good and it's so rich. And it's not uncommon. I've heard other people share this as well. Not in so many words saying, oh yeah, I have the follower's high. No. But just in their description of their relationship, of their walk with Jesus, you get the same thing. You have this sense, this nearness and this love of God for you. And the other thing too is what I really appreciate is you read throughout Scripture, Paul is classic. He gets that follower's high. If you've read any of Paul's letters in the New Testament, Romans, he hits Romans 8, and then at the end, what can separate us from this love? Absolutely nothing, right? That's what Paul is, and you hear that in Ephesians, you know? When I think about all that God has done, bringing the Gentiles and the Jews together, right? And Jesus is the cornerstone that holds us all together as one us, makes it us. Paul goes, when I think of this, I fall to my knees and I pray for you that you'll know this love, how deep and wide and long and high and eternal it is, right? There's that high, it just comes. And if you're getting a glimpse of that in some of his letters, those are the times he's writing about, you know Paul has these highs come, right? Where he's just overwhelmed by the love of God. That's where the high comes from, by the way. It's all that. And that what I find in Scripture, what I find with some elite, what I would call mature followers, seasoned, they're older, they've gone through life. What I find, I don't know if I'm at the seasoned mark yet. I don't know. But what I find with them is that the hard times of life don't dominate their life. It takes a back seat. That what's prominent in their life is the joy they have in following Jesus. The tough times come, but they know they're just momentary. They're just slight, right? But Jesus is the thing that dominates them. And I think it's beautiful. And that's what I wanted. I wanted that. I wanted to know, how do I get to that point? How do I get to that point where I can grab onto that? How do I get there? How do I get that, right? And so I'm on a quest to find out, how do I follow better? How do I do that? How do I want to experience the Jesus way. It's offered to us and I want it. I know it's daunting, but I still want it. Will I hit it? I don't know if I'll ever. But I'm trying. It's something I want more than anything else. And I found the hardest part in all of this is, similar to running, the mind game. The mind game. Because the enemy loves to plant little stuff just in your head to take you off your game. You're not good enough. Man, that can just zero you in. People don't like you. Man, that takes you off, right? You're not strong enough to get through this. Why would God allow this to happen in your life? You know, where's your faith, right? All those little things that the enemy will just throw and chip away, right? It's the mind game, and I've learned that. And you have to learn how to, you know, shift, you know, push some of those thoughts out and bring in some other thoughts that are more of the Holy Spirit. So with that, here are some principles or advice that I would like to share with you for following Jesus. I no longer aim to be perfect. No longer do. Now, I know in Matthew's gospel, reread or Matthew and in other gospels, that your heavenly Father is perfect, so therefore you ought to be perfect as well. How many here have reached perfection? If you put your hand up, you're coming up here. I know we want to talk to your family members. Right? If you ever hear me say that I'm perfect, go talk to April. She'll just let me, you know. It's okay. He's getting older. Right. I aim for improvement now. I always aim for improvement, not perfection. Perfection is out. If I aim for perfection, I'm going to become very discouraged. Very discouraged. But I aim to improve. It's about doing the best that I can. What am I measuring? I'm measuring my endurance, my perseverance in the tough times. How do I react when bad things happen, when hard things happen? That's what I want to measure. Am I loving God more? That's what I measure. Am I loving other people more? Am I loving my family, my spouse more? How's that going? I talked to Jesus about this stuff. How am I doing? Am I growing? Because it seems like I haven't grown in such a long time. Jesus, can you help me out here? Oh, you've grown a little bit, you know. But that's what I measure. It's that's the stuff that I measure. I just want to do the best that I can do. Because here's the reality. I may not follow as closely as other people do. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay.
Really?
Yeah. I'm doing the best that I can do. I really am. I'm doing the best that I can do, and I hope that's okay. I may not do as many things as other people do, and I'm okay with that. I'm doing the best that I can do. Otherwise, if I play that other game, I'm gonna sink myself. I can't do that. I'm doing the best that I can do. I'm not competing against anyone. The only person I'm going to challenge is me. The only person I'm going to try to see to hey, you know what scripture, when you read scripture, you know what a lot of scripture says? It does. Read this. Just doesn't say it as bluntly. A lot of scripture says, mind your own business. Literally. Mind your own business. In other words, you got enough stuff to deal with. You deal with that. And we'll start, wait till you hit chapter 7 in Matthew. Well, it's basically Jesus saying, my children, mind your own business. That's what he's saying. I'm not competing with anyone. If I think for a second I have to be like you, or the superheroes of the faith, you know, people we call superheroes, if I have to be like that, I'm going to get tripped up. I'll bail. And you know what the key is? Run your own race. Run your own race. Do your best. Here's why. I don't know the factors that play into your life and where you're at in things. And you don't know the factors that have come into shape my life. I'm not you, you're not me. That's why it's so important when we gather like this as followers of Jesus, and some people are hands up and dancing in the aisles and everything, and then there's somebody else sitting there like this, and to go, I wonder what's wrong with them. Maybe nothing. Maybe nothing is wrong with that person who's sitting like this, and there's everything wrong with the person who's dancing and their hands all are up. You don't know. You have no clue, right? We'll talk about that more next week, right? You don't know. I don't know. We don't know. And Paul gets it. And you know what I think? I wonder if Paul was a runner. I wonder, because he uses that analogy a few times. And if he is, it's going to be a high five when I see him. Here's what Paul says, and this is to his letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthian church. And he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Paul is not saying there that we are all competing against each other and I've got to beat you because there's only one prize. He's talking about mindset. Have the mind of a champion, the one who knows they're going to get on the podium. Have that mindset. Do your very best. Because what the champions bring is their very, very best. Their very best. That's all they're bringing. That's what they're bringing. And that's what Paul is saying. I'm going to run with purpose. I'm going to be diligent. And I love that. I think he is a runner. I think. But what Paul is saying is the same thing. Run your own race. Run it. Run it. Here's the other reality in following Jesus is I'm going to stumble. You're going to stumble. That's the other reality. I'm going to trip and fall. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I might even hurt myself. I may be overwhelmed at times and I may want to quit. It's all part of the deal, guys. So if you've just joined our happy band of merry people, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. At times. And that's okay. That's okay. That does not disqualify you. We're going to help you get back up because we've all been there. We've all stumbled. We've all fallen. And we're going to help you in this. It's part of the deal. Because the only way to avoid it is don't follow. But I can't not follow Jesus. Why? Because I discovered Jesus as friend. Always with me. Always with me. The other thing, the other principle, humble followers help me thrive. How do they do that? They encourage me. Yeah, right? That's huge. They're generous to share how they get through the hard times, the good times, how to look for the blessings of God throughout creation, right? They give me strategies. You know, they teach me things. They build me up, right? And that feels good. I do much better when I'm built up. But what I really, the followers I really appreciate are the ones in Scripture. You know why I love what those folks have written? They don't sugarcoat anything. You get the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when they write, they have no problem saying, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if they had the discussion. I don't know sure if they had to get a release, had to get permission from, you know, Peter. Hey, Peter, are you okay if we put in here when Jesus called you Satan? Sure, go ahead. Right? But they don't sugarcoat anything. They talk about, Paul talks about, 2 Corinthians is all about Paul's pain he went through. The persecution. Thank you, Paul, for telling me that. Thank you that it wasn't all just, you know, roses for you. That was hard times you had. And what you learned from that, thank you. They don't sugarcoat nothing. They do get beat up at times. It is hard. We're going to hit walls where we feel like we can't do it anymore. We're going to feel like we get to that place where we just want to quit, want to give up, want to walk away. And they would tell you, if your superheroes are the people, the mature followers would tell you, that's part of the deal. It's part of what you're going to experience. And what you do is you don't give up. You reassess and you just keep going. You keep going along the way. These things happen. You know, sometimes we get all freaked out if we start doubting, start questioning things. It's okay. It's okay. The key for me, and it's not the key necessarily for everybody, but it's stay close to Jesus. Just stay close to Jesus. Jesus doesn't get weirded out if you get doubts. Doesn't get weirded out. What will take me out? Shaming. Right? That'll take me out. Discouraging words from others will take me out. Never feeling like I'm enough. That's a brutal one. When you feel like you're not enough. But that's not part of following Jesus. That's not part of it. That's not part of the deal. Right? And what we're getting into next week, judging, that will take me out. Now, those are things that helped me. So principles. Let's go through this real quick. Pay attention to your thoughts. Pay attention to your thoughts, guys. Your thinking. Your thinking has the power to take you out. That's why Paul said, you know where Paul says, think on things that are admirable, good, lovely, holy, something like that. Paul was talking about the mind. The mind. Paul talks about the mind a lot. Be careful. This thing. The enemy will go after that. The enemy simply at the creation story with Adam and Eve. What was it that took them out? Did God really say? Right? Threw a question in. Bang. Nailed him. Pay attention to your thoughts. Growth is found in the highs and the lows. When things are going good, we think, yes, I'm getting better. And when things low, it's all, am I even a follower? No, it's all part of the deal. You can learn and grow in the highs and in the lows. Don't make a big deal about either of them. Don't worship the highs and seek the highs. Don't get wiped out because of the lows. They happen. They just happen. Say, God, teach me. Keep going here. Aim for improvement, not perfection. Perfection will, you know, I always say for myself, I'm aiming for excellence, do the best I can, not perfection. I'll get tripped up, right? You're going to stumble and fall. It's just going to happen, right? And this one, you've heard me say, run your own race. I should have bolded underneath what the second line there. Don't compare yourself. Comparison is, you'll always find, I don't know if you found this, you'll always find somebody better who you think is better than you, more spiritual than you, more faster than you. More, you just fill in the blanks, right? More this, more that, more this. It'll tear you apart. Don't compare. We all are running our own race. Do your best. This one, encouragement. Do you not do better when people come along and encourage you? I do. When people do the opposite of that, discourage, that sucks life out of me. That does not help me. Did you know it has been proven scientifically in the sports field that coaches that will chew and shame and put down their athletes, actually do worse. Not only that, it affects them later on in life. What they find is that when there's encouragement, when there's that, when they cultivate, when coaches and trainers cultivate an environment of encouragement, filling one up, that person does way better than they thought, and it has positive effects in the future for them. That's a fact. Encouragement. And you see it in Scripture. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Listen, will this world not tear you down? Do you not find we need to be people of encouragement. We really do. Let me keep going. Count the cost both ways. What I mean by that, Jesus talks about in one of the Gospels there, I think it's Matthew, to count the cost of discipleship, count the cost of following. There is a cost of following Jesus. You're going to have to shift. You're going to have to give something up, right? But here's the thing. We get all tripped out by that. But did you know that we make shifts all the time? We make sacrifices all the time for different things. If you choose today when you go home to watch the full day, you know, a full series on Netflix, there's a cost. You're going to give other things up. You're going to give up talking to your spouse, or talking to your kids, or talking to somebody. You're going to give up reading. You're going to give up this. You're going to give up that. You just do. There's always a cost. There's always a trade-off for something, whatever you're doing. There's a cost to it. And there's a cost. When I chose that, I said, you know what? I don't want a heart attack. So I'm going to have to shift some stuff in my life. I had to give up. I remember having someone say, you do know that healthy food is more expensive, eh? And it was like, yeah. So is having a heart attack. Right? Now, a lot of that was, I was afraid because I had two brothers who had it. So I was, you know, but it was like, yeah, there's a cost. There's a shift. I had to make a shift. There's a cost to it. But here's the other, what I say, count the cost both ways. There's a cost of following Jesus, and there's a huge cost to not following Jesus. Jesus shows us the way to have real life. And if we choose, if I choose, Jesus, too hard, not doing it. Fine. There's a cost to that. There is. There's a cost. So you got to weigh. What am I willing to pay? Well, you know what? I'm convinced in my own life, you've heard me say this, I'm convinced that Jesus has the answers to the world's problems. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Do to others as you have them do to you. Go make disciples. Teach them all the commands I've made, you know, and on, right? I believe Jesus has the answers to the world's problems. So I follow Jesus and I'll give up the other stuff. That's what I want to do. Finally, three things for success that you have to keep in mind. You don't do this on your own, by the way. You can't do this on your own. If you try to do the Sermon on the Mount on your own, good luck. Because that's all you have going for you, is luck. Three things for success that you need to keep in mind. One, the Father sent the Holy Spirit to the church. We have the Holy Spirit with us. To do what? To help us. To show us. To teach us. That's what it says. And come along and say, oh, no, convict, yes. And go, no, you're going off. You're going off. The Holy Spirit, we have that. One, the other gift you have, us, the body of Christ. We need one another. We need one another. And I know the church is going down in numbers all over North America. I don't know about the rest of the world. I think in Europe as well. It has been for years now. And people are done with the institutional church. Get it. We've gone off a bit. Yep. But we need each other. I need help. I need people to help me, to encourage me. I have my family, I have April, I have my kids, they help. I have my home church, that small group I have, need it. You know, I got all the, you know, I got Bruce, I got Jeff, I got all the different people that help me as I, you know, there's about four or five others as well. And it's just, I'm just so thankful to have them in my life, to speak into my life. Us, it's a gift. And I have Scripture. Scripture helps me. Those three things, success. Those three things, I can do it. And so, when I say I want what I read in Scripture, when I read how what Paul has become, when I read how what Peter has become, what James and John and all the rest have become, I want that. I see Paul's high, I want that high. I want that. I want that one. Because that's a good one. When I read Romans 8 and Ephesians, I go, wow, you were like tripping out there, Paul. You were in seventh heaven, right? You were really doing it. Close off. Philippians. In his letter to the Philippians, he says to them, and he says to us, Paul writes this, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. He hasn't. Corinthians, Paul says, we know in part, but when the perfect comes, then we'll be perfect then when Jesus comes back. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and look forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us, all of us. And the question for us is, are you in? That's the question. Are you in?
Yes.
Thank you. We got one. Yay. I'll pray for the rest of you. Catherine and I will pray for you. Guys, yeah, running is great. It's fine. But there's nothing, absolutely nothing. Running doesn't even come close to knowing this God who loves us, what we sang about today. Oh, what Tab led us in today, the middle part. There is nothing that compares with knowing Jesus. That God is for us, that God walks with us. It's beautiful. Amen.